Well, I'm going to try to continue with what I started last week, and I'm not going to get through it, I know. I wish I could have made better progress last Sunday morning. We need a revival of holiness. Jesus prayed that we would be sanctified. John's Gospel, chapter 17, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I spent a lot of time on introduction, I guess, last week, but finally got to the point where I mentioned that revival of holiness would be that the believer is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Because as a Christian, we want to be filled with the fullness of God. As a believer, we want to walk in the holy paths that God has provided, has given. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the promise is they shall be filled. They shall be filled. It's a promise. It's the reality. Not just a figment of somebody's imagination, not just somebody's dream, or empty earthly hope, but it's an eternal hope. It's a reality of heaven. It's the promise of the Father. It's the promise that Jesus provided at the Sermon on the Mount early in his ministry. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want more and more and more of Jesus. So I'll give him more of me. We need a revival of holiness, or that you and I can be sanctified, because God as our Heavenly Father is greater than any earthly father, and he has promised to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. Do we give as earthly fathers, as earthly parents, do we give a stone for bread? Do we give a serpent when the child asks for something to eat as a fish? Do we give a scorpion when they ask for an egg? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That's a promise. There is a reality to the promise, not just something that's out there in the ether somewhere, but it's the reality of the promise. As he's given it to them, he also provides the Holy Spirit to us if we but ask him. We need a revival of holiness that would cause the believer to be obedient. So that doesn't really add up, does it? Well, there was a lot of people back in the day of Pentecost, or prior to the day of Pentecost, that believed on Jesus. They believed in Jesus. They understood there was something different about them. They believed that there was a message, or that his message was good for them. I think it says that there was above 500 people that heard the command from Jesus to tarry in Jerusalem, that there was going to come a comforter, that somebody was going to replace him in actual presence. Jesus said, I must go for me to go so that the comforter can come. There was above 500, it says. But then we find that there was only 120. I don't know if that's an exact number that was counted, that was provided in that account for us, but maybe it was a generalized term, something similar to above 500. I don't really know, but it doesn't really matter exactly if it was 120 or 121. It was that measure of people that were there waiting for the outpouring of the Spirit, and it's only a fraction of the people that heard the promise. There were only a fraction of the believers that were present at the giving of the command that actually fulfilled the command and were obedient. Now, I'm not going down through the list of people or walking the aisle and moving in and out of every pew here this morning to count off the percentage of people that may or may not have the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, nor am I suggesting that there is a small percentage of people under the sound of my voice today similar to the percentage of the people in the upper room compared to those that heard prior to. But I'm saying that there are a lot of people, people are people the world round, and there are a lot of people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they fail to follow through with full obedience in the steps following belief. Somehow we have this list, and it doesn't take very long at all for a person in their Christian faith to develop a list. Those of us, and that includes a lot of us here today, but most of us have been brought up in this way, in this kind of a church, and we have developed quite the list over the years. I'm talking about the list of do's and don'ts. I'm talking about the list of what it means to be a Christian. I had a woman tell me one time, a number of years ago, that so-and-so wasn't a Christian because they don't do this. And Christians do that. But she was a good Christian. And there were a whole bunch of things that she didn't measure up to in my list. And I think that my list was based more on the Bible than her list. If I could be so prejudiced or biased, I think I was more accurate in my list than she was. We have this list and we go down through this list and we say that, well, I'm living right because of my list and they're not living right because of their list. You know, we can look around us and we can judge all kinds of actions and things, and we can decide all sorts of things by looking at somebody else. But the reality is for you and I to come to grips with the reality of our own list for our own selves, not our list for somebody else. Acts chapter 5 verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. There's the promise once again. Obey him. You see, the Father will sanctify the believer because there is obedience. The Father will give the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, as is recorded in Acts 5:32, if we obey Him. In other words, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, step by step, following and faithful to follow His Word and to follow His will, He will automatically lead us Just simply, it's automatic. The Holy Ghost will lead us. God the Father will lead us. Jesus Christ points us in the direction of the filling of the Spirit of God. And as a believer, I'm obedient to His leading. We also notice that as we need a revival of holiness and reasons why we need a revival of holiness, and that God will sanctify the believer, is because it is His design for the New Testament church to be Spirit-filled. We could spend a lot of time here, and I hope I don't get sidetracked and stuck and mired down, but it's a reality that we need to take notice of. Ephesians 5:18, we could stand on and we could preach about and preach all the way around every which direction about, but it's very simple that it's the design of God the Father for His New Testament church. And you see, we are included in that definition as part of the New Testament church. Be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 30, or 23 to 24, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth, who also will do it. John the Baptist's message was about repentance. Repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But he also recognized, even while he was preaching, that repentance was necessary because the kingdom of God is at hand. He was also recognizing that this wasn't the only thing, that this wasn't the end of it all. This was only the beginning, because we find in Matthew chapter 3, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We don't have to go very far into a word study to understand that this is a promise with a guarantee. Not an empty promise, it is a real, true promise. Shall baptize you. Shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You see, the New Testament believer should be Spirit-filled. It is a design, the design of God for the New Testament church to be Spirit-filled. The disciples of Christ were melancholy because of His departure, the prospects of His departure. But Jesus was trying to tell them, it is expedient, it is necessary, it is a must that I go away, because if I do not go away, then the Comforter will not come. It's hard for you and me to grasp that. You see, we've become so accustomed. We've become so accustomed to the Holy Spirit being present among us. We've become so accustomed to having people around us where the Holy Spirit was within them, filled them with His presence. We've become so accustomed to Him being around that it's hard for us to grasp what it was before He came, in the way that He came at Pentecost. These disciples, though, were on the other side. They were accustomed to having Jesus with them. And it didn't take them long to become accustomed. It only took them about 3 years for them to become accustomed to the presence of Christ. And they couldn't grasp that the Holy Spirit was going to be something as good or perhaps better than the presence of Jesus. We can go down to Ephesus. And I don't know the exact scene. I don't know what was taking place, but perhaps Paul got to Ephesus and he called a board meeting. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Paul was passing, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. I don't know, was that a board meeting or what it was? Apollos was at Corinth. You know, I don't know what was taking place and what is it that's going on in this meeting? You read the entirety of the book of Acts, you read all of the Pauline epistles, and you could probably come up and formulate a little bit of a question and answer session if you really wanted to. You could come up with a question like this. Paul was asking the people there at Ephesus, what do you think about Apollos as pastor? Do you think he's a successful pastor or not? Well, what do you think about Priscilla and Aquila? How good are they? What's your opinion of them? Maybe you could say that he was asking them about their building project or their plans for purchase or what was going on. What are your plans and what are you reaching out for? What are your goals? He could have asked them how many were in attendance last Sunday and what was your average over the last year? We don't find those questions being asked by Paul, but there is one question that Paul asked. And if you had turned there to Acts chapter 19, you may have already looked ahead to see what that one question was. He wasn't concerned what their opinion was about Apollos or what their opinion was about Aquila and Priscilla. He wasn't really concerned about their average attendance and their gains and their losses. He was asking them one simple question, the vital question that changes the whole dynamics of everything else that he could have been asking. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It's really sad when we become satisfied with our present state. It's really sad when we become satisfied with the mediocrity that we have developed into because of our custom or our acquaintance or that we're used to all this. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You see, the design that God has given for His church is to be Spirit-filled. The reason why He wants us to be Spirit-filled is because He wants us to be like Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Conversation does not just simply mean the talk that goes on. But that word conversation includes conduct, every facet of life. Be ye holy in all manner of conduct and conversation. We also find that we can be sanctified, we can be Spirit-filled, we can find the fullness of God because Jesus suffered without the gate that we might be sanctified. He paid the price so that we could be sanctified. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. A number of years ago, it's been so long ago, it's hard to even believe that it was a reality. It's hard to believe that I was even dumb enough to think about it. But a number of years ago, I test drove a Mercedes-Benz, a 560 SEL. Beautiful car. You could hardly tell it was running until you put it into gear, and then it just slipped in, and it was a beautiful automobile. My wife always dreamed of having a Mercedes-Benz and thought, well, maybe now's the time to do it. And what a ridiculous thought it would have been. I'm sure that I would not have made it to the ministry had we bought that car. Well, for a number of reasons. But then again, perhaps if I'd have bought that car, God would have allowed me to wreck it real soon and take it away. You know, God has a way of guiding us. I look back on it now and I think, you know, there's no way. It's a beautiful car. It's a nice car. We might even look good in it. Do you ever see somebody in a car and you say, well, you look good driving that, or a truck? You know, Adam Krause with his big diesel Chevy out there, you look good in that, Adam. Or that whatever GTO, whatever it is that Destiny drives occasionally. Wow. But looking back on it, it's really a ridiculous thought to think that I would ever even have considered such a purchase. Oh yeah, it was nice. Sure, it was good. But it was more than what I needed. It's really more than what I should have been dreaming about. And Satan has convinced a lot of people that about holiness. Oh yeah, it's there. It's a beautiful sight, but it's more than what you need. You can get by without it. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and it might be good to be able to get into something like that, but it's not really necessary. Why don't you just lay it aside? It's more than what you really need, and it's more than what you will ever attain. And the devil has convinced a lot of people that it's the Mercedes-Benz that they don't need in their spiritual existence. I have heard of people, countless people, and I'm sure that there are way more than the ones that I could point to. And I'm thinking about one in particular, even now as I speak, that was convinced that the holy life, the sanctified life, the spirit-filled life was more than what they could ever attain and more than what they could ever receive and more than what they could ever live up to. And so they were convinced that they could not, and so they believed that they could not. And today, because they walked against the light of the Holy Spirit, that individual that I'm thinking about is in a state of wickedness and debauchery. You say, well, no, I won't do that. Maybe you won't go as far. But when we turn our back on the light that God has given us, it becomes darkness. And the scripture says, how great is that darkness? When God the Holy Spirit says that Jesus paid the price, that Jesus suffered without the gate that we might be sanctified, when we read in God's Word to understand that the design of the New Testament church by God Himself is to be Spirit-filled, then it's our responsibility to find out what it is and how it is, and that our heart should hunger and thirst for that righteousness so that we could be filled. Finally, this morning, you and I can be, because Jesus Himself has prayed for us. That's what it is. That's what the Bible says. That's what we've already read this morning. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. One of the things that I miss about people passing on, some people that are dear to me that have passed on to their eternal rewards, but one of the things that stands out to me at their funeral is to think that their prayers for me have been silenced. I pray that that God would pour out the bottled up prayers from time to time. It's the only thing that would keep me going, to think about them and their prayers being silenced. Now, but Jesus has prayed for you. I love the passage of Scripture where Jesus is sharing with us about the time that he was talking to Peter. And we know that as he was talking to Peter, not only was he talking to him specifically, but he was also talking to us, that Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. How do I believe that? Or why do I believe that? It's because Jesus is praying this prayer for me now. I can believe that he was also praying for me and for you. That prayer that he was praying for Peter was also intended to be a prayer for you and for me. Knowing also that Jesus is now interceding. What a thought that he is now interceding on our behalf at the throne of God the Father. Even now. He has prayed for me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've never heard of a follower of Jesus Christ being possessed by an angel. But you have heard of a follower of Satan being possessed of a demon. You see, it wasn't good enough for God to possess his followers with an angel. He went higher than that. He went to the very triune Godhead of the throne room of heaven to allow the Holy Spirit of God to infill and saturate and cleanse the heart of the believer if they ask and obey and walk in the light, and the Holy Spirit is available for all who would believe and obey him. You see, we need a revival of holiness because living off of our parents' experience is not good enough. Living off of somebody else's experience is not good enough. Let me take it just a step farther. For us, living in the past experience for myself is not good enough. Be filled with the Spirit would indicate an ongoing filling of his Holy Spirit. Be being filled. If it was a one-time thing, one and done, and everything's set up and everything's fine, then that would be okay. But it's not. It's a continual filling. It's a continual walking. It's a daily process, not a process of growing into, but it's a daily process of allowing him to fill me daily and to fill me moment by moment, to walk in the light as he is in the light. Mary Beth, would you come to the piano this morning? 490. I want you to turn to 490 and play. We're not going to sing it. You can turn to it and look at the words if you'd like. 490. As we prepare ourselves for revival meeting, we need to prepare our heart for revival personally. Go ahead and begin to play when you're ready. Oh, to be like thee. What is our prayer and what is our aim? What is our goal? What do we want to see in our spiritual lives? As we look at the command of God to be filled and to be sanctified, to be cleansed, am I really living where He wants me to live? Am I walking in all the light that He has given? Am I becoming more like Him? Is my prayer, oh, to be like Thee. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art. You see, it goes back to the early verse that I've read. Blessed are the hungry and the thirsty, for they shall be filled. Let's stand together this morning as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us on a personal level. Play it through one more time. If somebody needs to pray, you're welcome to come and pray. The altar is here. I believe that God is here this morning.